Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside double Ashes winner Steve Harmison, looking back at every day of the Test summer. Day two of the first Test at Lords has just come to a close. Another fascinating day's play. England on top at the start and the end, with New Zealand taking the middle session. As always, plenty to discuss, and you're listening to Following On. So, if you're listening, you probably already know by now that New Zealand were bowled out 45 minutes before tea for 378, but not before Devon Conway hit a double 100 on debut, and he got there with a six. Absolutely fantastic bowling from England at times, though. The Kiwis losing four wickets for just six runs at one stage, with Mark Wood and Ollie Robinson the pick of the bowlers. However, England's shaker looking top order, folding again, Sibley and Crawley out cheaply, and it was left to Burns and Root to bat through the final session unscathed, ending up 111 for two. But with bowler-friendly weather forecast for day three, this game could yet speed up. So, let's get on with the show. Myself and Steve Harmison. This is Following On.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, story of the day. Where do you begin? It was, there's so much to go at, wasn't there? In the beginning, it was about Devon Conway and Henry Nicholls putting on 42, serenely enough. And then up stepped your old mate, Mark Wood, alongside Ollie Robinson, who performed really well today and was really unfortunate not to get on the honours board. And then England doing what they always do, losing top order wickets, 18 for two, before a fight back from Rory Burns and the man that we knew England would be relying on, Joe Root.
For me, the story of the day is Ollie Robinson. I think the story about yesterday was Ollie Robinson for the negative reasons. And you know, we're not going to look, park the boats and put it to one side, because I think there's things to come from this story, and it's going to roll on probably into the days of after the game. But the way that young man has come back and put the trauma of what he had to do yesterday after the game to one side, the embarrassment to have to sit in his room and probably listen or look at social media or get it from, you know, family and friends telling them everything's all right and, you know, you've got to look forward to your cricketing career and stuff like that, to then come in to see the newspapers this morning, to then go and put your boots on and perform. I thought he performed brilliantly. I thought he performed brilliantly. Yeah, there's mileage in what negative stuff is with Molly Robinson, but the way he bowled today, along with Mark Wood, I thought Mark Wood was absolutely brilliant today. I really did. I think he changed the game. He changed the part. He got the partnership broken. It's a game with pace. This is a very, very good surface. New Zealand should have got 450. If I was an England fan, I'd be disappointed we didn't get 450 from 246 to 3 overnight. And that's largely down to Robinson and to Wood. Thought Woody was brilliant. So from that context, for me, the story of the day was the England coming back into the game. The bowling was exactly the same as yesterday. Got a little bit more luck, broke the partnership, made it difficult to get in on, and the bowl well as a team. So, you know, I was so pleased for the bowlers to get rewarded, because sometimes you don't always get rewarded on a flat pitch, where they're just rewards from yesterday of sticking at it, not letting the game get away from them. It could easily have been 280, 290, 300. and letting the ball go to all parts. They stuck to their disciplines, and I thought the ball brilliantly got rewarded for it this morning. A little bit this afternoon, Wagner whacked a few, but yeah, look, I think England this morning would have took anything. If you give them anything under 400, I think England would have been so, so happy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it reminds me a little bit of a game that took place at Mount Maunganui in November 2019, when, England went in, they scored a similar kind of score as New Zealand did. And we all thought, OK, well done. But then New Zealand went out there and scored 550 and won the game. Now, I'm not suggesting England didn't do that, but I thought they bowled very well on day one. And as you say, got a little bit of luck that they maybe didn't get on day one, on day two, got themselves back in the game. Look, in regard to the comments about Ollie Robinson, I agree. My mind actually turned to him last night as I was just making my way up to go to sleep. And I just thought, I wonder what is going on. He must be in his room looking at the ceiling, and you can only guess at what was going through his head. And I'm not saying I'm sympathetic, because he made his own bed, really. But it's interesting. And it's interesting from a sporting perspective. I thought the same thing on the way in this morning on the tube up towards St John's Wood. I thought to myself, how will he play today? And I went through the different kind of permutations. You know, is he going to pull up halfway through his run-up because he's just not going to be able to deal with the fact that of what's happened? Is he going to bowl really well? Is he just going to go all over the place? Possibly the catch settled things. He took a catch at long leg to dismiss Henry Nicholls, then came and took a wicket himself. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. But I think you're right. He came up and he just made sure that there's another story now. There's another narrative. And whatever happens after this test match, whether he gets banned, whether he gets dropped, whatever happens, he's performed, you know, and that's all he can do. So I'm not going to say well done to the guy. I'm just going to say it's interesting. That's it.
It's good signs, though. For me, it's good signs. I'm talking about Ollie Robinson, the cricketer here, putting the off-field stuff to one side for a second, not forgetting about it, just putting it aside for one second. He's had to come and endure a debut, which is very, very difficult to do, at Lord's, which is even bigger because it's the home of cricket. And he's gone and performed on day one, not knowing anything about what's happening. He's come off and he's had the trauma of everything that's gone with it. And the challenge for him was what was going to come next. And for me, that's brilliant signs about this kid's character, brilliant signs about this kid's mindset, because his ability to leave the game at the door, the outside of the game at the door, and go on and just see three stumps, a red ball and 10 fielders trying to get wickets, and do that for a day, and then come back to it as he goes back through the gate at the end of it at 6:30, whenever the game's finished. That, for me, is a sign of somebody who can play at this level. Because the hardest part of the test match cricket is not actually batting and bowling. It's everything in between. It's the influences in between, the crowd, media, TV, everything that goes with it, the scrutiny of your life. And that, in this last 24 hours, I think Ollie Robinson has just proved to me that this kid has got the mindset to play the game. Now, whether he gets a chance to do that because of what's happened is for other people to have a conversation with him and other people to make decisions. But what I've just witnessed in 48 hours of international cricket, this boy's got the game, he's got the mindset, and he's got the ability to switch on and switch off that you need to play international cricket. So that's great signs for me. If it takes it out of his hands, ECB takes it out of his hands, look, hands up, he's got nowhere to go. He's got no complaints and he's got no comeback. Can't bring a lawyer in and say, plead not guilty. He's hung, drawn and quartered. He has to take what he's coming. But if he then gets his chance to rebuild his career, which I think he should do, then he's just proven in 48 hours there's good signs ahead for Ollie Robinson.
I tell you what, it's also good signs for England insofar that, Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad came into this match with, a billion test wickets between them. But it wasn't them on this occasion, was it? It was England's backup bowlers. And also, let's throw in the fact that, we're talking about whether England made a mistake about not playing a spinner on day one. And we weren't saying that they did, because it's too early to really know. But if Jack Leach plays, then one of Robinson and Wood doesn't. And again, the complexion of this match would possibly and probably look very different right now.
Absolutely, and it probably would be Robinson or Wood. I would still play Broad and Anderson. I thought Jimmy and Brody bowled well. I really did. I just didn't think they carried a great deal of luck. Stewart had his knees pumping. He put the ball in good areas, challenged the batsmen. The two, you know, they held it together from thought the whole bowling unit. If we had been sitting here, Anderson 4, Broad 3, Robinson or Wood 2, and the other one not got a wicket, you would have believed either way. I thought all four of them bowled very, very well. Robinson got 4 wickets, Wood got 3. That's just what a bowling unit does. And having experience of playing with 3 other very, very fine fast bowlers, there are times where you've come off the field going, you know what, I can't believe I've not got one there. And then you've also gone off and gone, I've got a ball in my hand, I've just got 5 for. And you'd say to one of the other guys, and say, I can't believe you've not got any wickets. That's just the game. That's the game. Jimmy and Brodie understand that. Change second innings, change your edge basting. But the one thing I will say is England's bowling attack cannot go in any game, whether it's home or away, without Mark Wood or Jofra Archer. Because Jofra Archer and Mark Wood are game changers. And we've just seen in this game, 246 for 3 overnight. Game's going nowhere. 380 mile an hour bowlers, potentially looking down a barrel of 450 and 500. And Mark Wood bowls a spell at 94 mile an hour. Gets a wicket on a flat wicket. Gets a wicket. All of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. England are now, like you say, 4 wickets for 6 runs. Game completely changes. We need a fast bowler. We've got to keep them fit and an out-and-out fast bowler. I'm not talking about 84, 85, 88 mile an hour. Archer bowls 90 plus mile an hour consistently. Mark Wood bowls 90 mile an hour consistently. England need a fast bowler in their team. That's why Stokes is so important. That's where you get your spinner from. So, you know, desperate to get Ben back. But I think this game's just proven. When we play on flat wickets, without Wood or Archer, we are toothless. When we've got one of them, we are a force. We are an absolute force. These four guys have proved it today. Not because of Mark Wood, but when you need a break, he got one, and the other guys can then do their stuff. And I thought it was a very, very good bowling performance by England. They could have bowled them out for less, you know, but they could have been chasing a hell of a lot more.
Moment of the day.
There were a few moments of the day today, wasn't there? I think you've already made mention, and we have made mention of possibly the real moment of the day, and that was Henry Nicholls' dismissal, because it set in motion the mini collapse that means that England are still in this match. But in terms of a specific moment, you know, for a debutant, I know we spoke about Devon Conway yesterday, but for a debutant to come to Lord's of all places and in his very first innings in Test cricket, reach 200 with a 6, you know, that is a moment.
Doesn't get any better, does it?
That's not just moment of the day, is it?
That's moment of a lifetime. That is moment of a lifetime. You know, you come and you get 5 wickets on your debut, or, you know, a 10 for in the match at Lord's or an MCG or an SCG, Eden Gardens, you know, the world famous stadiums. It's, as a bowler, that's the dreams, what, you know, they're made up. He's fantastic. He batted brilliantly. We spoke about him yesterday. And we said yesterday, if we don't get him in our first half an hour, this guy will make you pay, because he seems to have a tempo that doesn't really bother what's going on around him. He never really got... The only time he really got bothered was when he tried to get back for 2 with Neil Wagner right at the end, and he got run out. It's the only time you've seen him go into possibly overdrive, whether he was got a little bit flustered. But, you know, he faced the short ball well. Yes, before lunch yesterday, he had an iffy 10 minutes against Mark Wood. Mark Wood was bowling 95 mile an hour. You know, the best players of all time would have an iffy 5 minutes in that sense. So, no, for me, I thought he was brilliant. It was a fantastic innings. He deserves all the plaudits he's getting. He might just have a look around and say, you know what, if somebody had just hung around more along with Henry Nicholls, then we could have a match winning total on the board of 450 plus. Because when you look at the scorecard, you've got Henry Nicholls with 61. You've got Wagner with 25. You've got extras with 24. Next, you know, Tom Latham with 23. And then nothing after that. You know, single figure scores the majority. So one more batsman probably cost New Zealand a chance to get 450, which would have been a lot of runs on that surface. And, you know, fair play. What an absolute brilliant innings, you know, from on debut at the home of cricket. You know, I even not sleep for a week, to be fair.
There was another moment, you're talking about fifers on debut. Ollie Robinson should have been on the honours board. Stuart Broad putting down the chance. He got two hands to it, diving to his right at mid-off. Okay. And then Joe Root took him off. Come on.
I thought you would have kept him on. I thought you would have, as a bowler, you would have done, I think Michael Vaughan would have took, it would have took a lot for Michael Vaughan to take the ball out of my hand. I'd have chinned him first. There's no way I'm giving that fifer up. Brodie, I can sympathise with Stuart, because once you bowl more than 20 overs in a test match, in your, you're standing there mid-on and mid-off and your legs are feeling like Bambi on ice, and you know, you're staring down a barrel of being on the field for 120 overs. Every chance is a hard chance. You know, even extra cover throwing it to you from underarm, the hard chances to catch, because you should have took it. So I'm not going to stick up for Stuart on that. He should have took it. Robinson should have had fifer. But if Robinson had anything about him, I'm not coming off skip. I'm bowling until I get this block out. I'm not bothered. You can hit me up in the air as much as you want. Put feelers on the boundary. I'll bounce him a few times, see if he can hit it up in the air. But you're not taking me off. I'm getting a fifer. I'm going to show every single national newspaper. I was on the front page this morning. I'm going to be on the back page because I'm getting a fifer. But he's in his first test match, so he probably didn't feel as though he could do that to the England captain. I know Broad and Anderson definitely would have.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Lol of the day.
There was definitely a laugh out loud moment of the day. The laughter was definitely coming from the press box, but Neil Wagner unfurling that lofted drive, the ball sailing over the rope for six over long off when Stuart Broad had just been brought on actually to replace Ollie Robinson. That brought a few chuckles up here in the media press box.
Yeah, that was a fantastic. It was a laugh out loud moment of the day. But Neil Wagner played a back foot drive through extra cover of Stuart Broad, and I tell you what, that was the best shot of the day. If Brian Lara had played that, it was off Mark Wood, yeah. Mm. If Brian Lara had played that, everybody would have been given shot of the century. No, because it come from Neil Wagner, who bats at number 11. Nobody thinks our bowlers can't. I tell you what, that was an unbelievable shot.
I tell you what, in fairness to Sky Sports, Ian Ward, I was listening at the time, Ian Ward did say that is the best. That is possibly the best stroke of the test so far. So, I mean, it was noticed. But, I mean, there was some hilarity around that. Wagner hit Stuart Broad for a six. He then back foot drive against Mark Wood for four. And then Devon Conway reaches 200 with a six. It was a really balmy passage of play. And then just when you think Devon Conway is going to be the first batsman in the history of the game to carry his bat in his first ever innings in Test cricket, he gets run out. It was
so bizarre.
It was really, really bizarre. And a really funny part of the day, and part of a pretty entertaining match so far.
It was a score. I think Conway was trying to get back on strike because he knew that, he probably knew that they were a few shy. you know, when you're in the grand scheme of things.
It wasn't even his run, mate. It was Wagner's.
No, yeah.
That's what made it even more ridiculous. He was trying to get a two for Wagner.
But again, bowlers are involved, there's always a chance of a run out. Bowlers and Nasser Hussain, you've always got a chance of a run out. So, no, it was a bizarre 25 minutes where Wagner come in through the bat, be tired, and England capitalised there. And it was comical his batting, but actually when you fast forward about 45 minutes to an hour, when they brought him on, I thought that was his first up. That was where the game changed in England's favour, because I thought him going to the short ball the way he did, I thought he let England off the hook, because I thought Southee and Jameson, when they first started, I thought the ball really, really well, put the ball in the right area. Jameson tried a bit too much. He was up the hill, down the slope, you know, left and right hand. He was trying to swing it back up the slope as opposed to just letting the contours of the slope go with you. One bit of advice I would give to Jameson, trying to bowl a weird swing to a left-hander up the slope, you know, from the height he's at, it's going to be very, very difficult to get the outside edge. Let the slope do the work. You know, put it out there, let it come back. If it doesn't come back, let the slope will naturally take it up the hill. And you've got more chance of taking the outside edge. He's not Jimmy Anderson, but I thought he bowled very, very well, the two of them. And Wagner came on and it seemed to die down a bit. Mm. Whack in the middle of the pitch. Burns got away, Root got a chance to get started, and all of a sudden the pressure that Southee and Jameson put on England just seemed to release a little bit.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
So what's going to happen on day three, Harmy? I did make mention earlier that the weather conditions aren't going to be quite so batsman friendly. We're expecting some rain. And even if there isn't rain, of course, there will be some cloud cover. So you've got the feeling that it's going to be a pivotal day in the Test match.
I don't think it's going to be too different to what today was. A prediction from sitting here last night, sitting and thinking, you know what? If England don't get Conway out in the first half an hour, then he'll go big, or he looks as though he's in a bit of nick. I thought Joe Root looked very, very good. And if he gets in first half an hour and he stays in, then England have got, you've got a rock that can bat and get a big, big score. And New Zealand know that as well. I've been Rory Burns' biggest critic. You know that, John, as a Surrey man. I've battered Rory Burns for the last 12, 18 months. I'm going to sit here now and say how well he played. He hit one shot down the ground, straight past the stumps, and I thought, right, you've done your not homework, you've done your hard yards in first class cricket to get you in a position to hit these balls and play the way you've played. You face balls, you've got runs, you've built innings, you've gone through the hard part, you've dug in, you've then cashed in, and that's what Rory Burns has done. So massive well done to Rory Burns. He hit one straight back down the ground. In the bad times, in the winter, he got out LBW because he tried to hit that either through straight mid-wicket or he tried to hit that through square leg, and he got out LBW when his head fell over. That was a sign for me that Rory Burns looked in good touch. So if he can come out tomorrow morning, oversee the first sort of 20 minutes, half an hour, get past that new ballish period, and even when the clouds do come in, if the two boys are in, it will get easier to bat, because the wicket's still good. I still think this is as good a pitch that you'll get at Lord's from the last sort of 3 or 4 years. This is as good a pitch as I've seen. And even if the cloud cover does come, it has swung. It has swung through the first 2 days. So swing shouldn't really bother the batsman too much. It's an easy pace pitch. Don't think it's going to go up and down until possibly the next day four, possibly day 5. But this pitch is still solid. It's still good. And if England can get over the new ball, England will hopefully get close, somewhere close to what New Zealand got to. And then it becomes a one-innings match. It comes a one-innings match. And you just hope and pray that not picking a spinner doesn't come back to haunt them if it becomes a one-innings match.
Well, we shall see. Plenty to look back on with myself and Steve Harmson over the next 3 days. Army, thanks for all that. We'll chat again tomorrow and find out if your prediction has borne fruit. But appreciate your insight as ever. You can listen and subscribe to the following on podcast on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or download the TalkSport app. Of course, you can get it there for free. But for now, that's it. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.